The first Folesby Eclipse Award winner, Stevie Wonderboy, raced to two last year, and he's the sire of 15 winners, two stakes winners, plus another that's placed in stakes. He's the sire of Made to Lover, winner of the Moccasin Stakes at Hollywood Park, second in the Grade II Santa Ynez Stakes at Santa Anita, California Stakes winner Run Stevie Run, winner of the CF Applebaum Stakes, and Starship Flair, second by Nose in the Grade III Mies Stakes at Hollywood Park. That's three First Crop Stakes horses, two of them graded stakes horses, plus First Crop winners, three of them at Woodbine, two of them at Calder, others at Gulfstream, Golden Gate, Del Mar, Tampa Bay. They're winning wherever they're asked to run. Stevie Wonderboy stands for a fee of $5,000 live foal with breeders' incentives available. Now, that's a bargain for a champion two-year-old that's sign runners. He stands at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. Check the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning here at the Thoroughbred Center on the Paris Lexington Road. And it's been a very busy morning. How many did we end up with over there, Holly?
57
works this morning. It'll get busier, though, as the season comes on. We've all the stalls are rented over on the hill.
Are they already?
Yeah, from starting March 1.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that the barns that Keeneland built down there, the new ones, are all rented also. So if you wanted to...
The Hamptons. Those are the Hamptons, the new ones.
Okay.
The ones, nice ones on the hill. She calls the suburbs.
Okay.
And the old barns are called the Hood.
Hood?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Susie would know. She's been around here long enough. Susie, one of our outriders. And anyway, let's see what we're going to do today. Jerry Duffy from over at Windstar is going to come on the air today at about 11 o'clock. Dr. Doug Byers and Michael Blowen. We'll be on here momentarily, I do assume. Let's see, they're running the Stymie Handicap. No, they didn't. They canceled it.
Oh, yes. You were going to fuss about that.
Yeah. There was a headline in the form. They couldn't fill the Stymie Handicap today because it was too far. It's a mile and an eighth, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Yeah, Stymie just got warmed up at a mile and an eighth. I mean, he was more suited to 2 miles than an eighth. And they replaced it with a mile race, and they got about 8 inches. I guess 6 furlongs would have filled up, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sick. that's embarrassing that they can't fill a race like that. Anyway, well, Jackie's announcements, of course. And let's see, we're going to 1958 two-year-olds. This is the last one I'm going to do, and then I'm going to move on to three-year-olds.
Oh, can we stand it?
Well, I don't know. A lot of people can't, I guess. Dark Vintage was she's by Wine List. She was the only foal sired by Wine List that year. He still used to stand down at Tolly Young's Creekview Farm down in Bourbon County. It's now owned, of course, by Coolmore, but they still call it Creekview, which is pretty nice, I would think, because Tolly was down there forever and ever and ever. Anyway, that's where Dark Vintage was at Stud. And let's see what winners. We had last night at Turfway, we had three winners, Alberta Butner, Tommy Skinner, and Adolfo Marcias. All three won races last night at Turfway. That afternoon, Kellen Gorder shipped one up to Beulah Park and won, so that's four winners yesterday. That's 17 winners in 17 days now, and of course, that's pretty good since they just raced. Not many people go up to Beulah, maybe two or three a day or something like that. Sometimes none, but anyway.
That's a long
way. And they're just running 3 days a week this month at Turfway, so there's not that many opportunities. So 17 winners is pretty good. And three last night, in addition to three winners, we had 4 seconds and 3/3. So that's pretty good. I would say. So anyway. I'm going to do a Joe Palmer too later, and just to rub salt in the wound of somebody out there that remembers Stymie. I'm going to And they canceled the Stymie Handicap. Today I'm going to do a column, read a column that Joe Palmer wrote on Stymie.
So, wonderful.
You know, he stood a stud right up at the Haggard Farm up here. I think Dr. Charlie called it Green Acres or something like that. He didn't call it Haggard Farm. Like, that's what they call it now. But it's right up here on Paris Pike and Hughes Lane. And they're still raising runners up there. Rough and Tumble was bred by Doc Charlie and stood up there. Of course, he sired Dr. Fager. Oh, it was he was a pretty good kind of a stud horse.
Is that the farm that's got the statues in it?
No, that's Normandy Farm.
Oh, that's Normandy,
next year.
Right.
That was E. Barry Ryan's place. Prior to that, it was the Widener family owned it, Pete Widener and everything. And that's where Fairplay and Mahuber, the sire and dam of Man of War, are buried right there. As you're going out, when you get, you pass the creek there, and if you're doing the winter months, you can see the statue.
Yes.
It sits about maybe an eighth of a mile off the road there, on the left, going up. It's all green now, you know. I guess it's
weathered.
Weathered.
Yes. Like old Colonel, what's his name, down there on the, at the.
Well, don't they clean, what do you mean, Colonel, what's his name?
Oh, I don't know, General somebody.
John Hunt Morgan?
Yeah, John Hunt Morgan.
My Lord of mercy, yeah.
I can't remember. Breckinridge is down there somewhere, too.
Well, his statue's on the other side of the old courthouse.
Yeah.
And he's not on a horse. It's just a statue of him.
Oh.
Yeah. Was he vice president of the Confederacy? I believe he was, wasn't he, Breckinridge? Where are you going, Holly?
I can't remember.
Okay.
Don't leave.
Turner. Holly's our EMS here, and she helps us clock. And Matt Howard helps us, and we have, Jackie was here. Yeah, we have four of us this morning. We needed all the help we could get this morning, really.
Yeah.
They kind of gang up on us after they renovate the track.
Although it was fast early, and after the renovation, because of the sun, it got heavy and muddy.
I labeled the track muddy. It was muddy this morning early, but they were getting over it pretty good.
Yeah, it just warmed up, and there you are.
Yeah, I see Doc and
Michael are here.
Are on their way. You want to do an announcement or something? Or
okay, till they get here?
Till they get here.
Okay, the 29th Annual Fayette County Farm Bureau Farm Equipment Consignment Auction is on St. Patty's Day. Starts at 9:30 in the morning. It's at the horse park, the main entrance. You have to pay $5 to park. This is the part I like. It's all types of farm equipment, lawn, and garden equipment. However, no fuel tanks, tobacco sticks, float trays, camper tops, or junk.
Darn. We've got stuff in the back of our truck out
right
here.
There.
We've been carrying around for 3 weeks because we can't make it to the dump.
I can't make it to the dump.
There's a TV in there, so it still works.
Keep hoping somebody will steal it, but, you know, it's not new enough for somebody to steal.
It's just kind of fuzzy around the edges.
Yeah, you can see in the middle.
Yeah.
Gee whiz. So, anyway, no junk. It keeps saying no junk. No trucks. Oh, yeah, trucks, trailers, boats, and ATVs are okay, but you have to have the right title. So, if you want more information, call Carrie Johnson at the Farm Bureau. Remember, Farm Bureau, it's easy. If you don't remember, 253-0023.
Yeah. All righty. Well, I think I'll take a little break here and get the boys on. What are you looking at over there, Doc?
I like this picture.
That's Corey Orme on him. And going into I've got a picture over here on the wall that Doc's looking at of Corey Orme winning a race at Turfway. It's a mile race, and he was going into the first turn, and the bridle pulled away from the rein pulled away from the bit. So he reached up and he got a hold of the throat latch with his right hand. And he doesn't have stirrups. Well, I didn't notice that. No stirrups either. Oh, surely the guy just stirrups there. Huh? Feet are in this. Yeah, they're in there, Doc. It's bad enough with losing the rein. Don't make it better or worse. Anyway,
losing your sight.
He rode this filly along. He'd ridden her before. He knew it pretty well. And they're turning for home. And he said, shoot, I got a clock, I got a shot to win this. He's just trying to stay on, you know. So he clucked to her a couple of times and went by neck. Oh, I've got Doll in. Here comes Michael in with a doll.
Bull in the Heather.
Oh, that's Bull in the Heather. Looks just like him.
Yes, as I pointed out to Dr. Byers, even with my unsophisticated eye, I could tell his feet look better on that than they do in real life. But anyway. But that's cool, don't you think?
Yeah, that's real nice. That's a Briar, huh?
It's a new Briar horse, Bull in the Heather. It's the first in the old friends collection. There's stories on the back of old friends, and they've got the Derby program from when he was
neat.
In the Derby. And we've already had guests come by to get their picture taken with them and with their horse and their model Briar horse and with Bull in the Heather.
Oh, that's really neat.
And it's really cool because in the back of the box, on behind the horse is a picture of the farm.
Oh.
Oh, back here?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's super.
Who put this together? That's really
Briar. Briar. Yeah. We have a woman named Vivian Morrison who works with, who's been volunteering for us for a long time, and she made it her commitment to life to get an old friend's Briar horse, and she worked on it for 5 or 6 years, and finally they did it, and there's some nice, you know, Barbara Livingston has a picture on the back, and Rick Capone has a couple of pictures.
That's really great.
Yeah, they put the whole thing together, and it only costs like $20, and we're going to get like a buck a horse.
Wow.
Donated to old friends.
They'll sell.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, that'll sell. Those
I mean, if we can sell Bull and the Heather, can you imagine what Commentator will do?
Yeah.
They wanted a gray horse.
Yeah. They did want a gray.
Yeah, little
girls. Yeah. Well, let me take a break, and we'll get to you guys. Well, last Saturday, Gulfstream, the grade one. $500,000 Don Handicap was won by Hymn Book, Hymn Books by Arch, and he's bred and owned by Stuart S. Janney III, raised over Claven, of course, trained by Sugar McGahee. Breaking from post position 10 on the outside, Hymn Book survived a rough trip to beat a stellar field of graded stakes winners, including two classic winners. He's won 7 of his 14 starts and has earned over $601,000. Now, Hymn Book is the 8th grade 1 stakes winner by Arch, a list which includes 4 champions, including the brilliant Breeders' Cup Classic winner, Blame, who retired with earnings of more than $4,368,000. Blame's first foals are due this year, and mares in foal to his cover sold for up to $800,000 last year. Blame stands for $35,000. 2011 yearlings by Arch sold for an average of $134,891, with a high of $494,000. Arch stands for $30,000. Fees are payable when the foal stands and nurses. For more information, contact Bernie Sams at Claven Farm and see the website at clavenfarm.com.
Sally's Van Services has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally Van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, Cowboy Cal was one of the most precocious sons of champion Sarah Giants Causeway. Broke his maiden at Belmont Park as a 2-year-old, sprinting a mile 134. Then he won the historic Law for Turdy by 6 1/4 lengths. That was just the beginning. Cowboy Cal trained on at 3 and 4, winning 5 graded stakes and placing in 7 others, 4 of them grade 1, sprinted a mile of 133 flat to accumulate earnings of over $1 million. He was a runner, and his first foals, now yearlings, look and act like runners, so much so that the very successful breeder, Ron Winchell, who has raced a long list of major stakes winners, recently purchased a substantial interest in Cowboy Cal. Cowboy Cal stands for 7,500 live foal at Pin Oak Stud, home also of Bob and John, Broken Vow, Sky Classic. Bob and John, a top 5 freshman sire in 2011 by a number of winners, including 2 stakes horses, is by Seeking the Goal, and he stands for 7,500 live foal. Broken Vow, fee $25,000 live foal, was represented by 23 2011 stakes horses, and he has sired 4 grade 1 winners. Sky Classic, 10,000 live foal, has sired over 100 stakes horses, 59 stakes winners. Inquiries to Clifford Berry. Our Nancy Stevens. See the website at pinoakstud.com.
I'm hidden
All righty, you going to do my KTA commercial over there? I see you pulled out my statistics.
Well, I'm just checking this out because you mentioned Hymnbook. And Hymnbook, of course, won the Don last week, and the old loser horse finished third, so we had the trifecta.
What did it pay?
Redeemed won, and he didn't go off at a big price like I thought he might. He only went off at 6 or 7 to 1. But the other cool thing is he's owned by Samantha Siegel, and Samantha Siegel donated Arson Squad to us this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Arson, what's his name?
Arson Squad.
Arson Squad.
He was over. She, it's an old 9-year-old gelding. Yeah. And he broke down at Gulfstream Park during a workout. He earned over $1 million for her, maybe close to $2 million.
Is that right?
Yeah. And she paid for some very expensive surgery over at Rude and Riddle to get him fixed up again. And he just arrived at Old Friends a couple days ago.
Yeah.
He's doing his post-op work over here under the watchful eye of my friend Dr. Byers. What?
You got him installed? Is that mm-hmm. now?
He's installed, rest for a month, and then go from there.
Yeah. What was wrong? What was the problem, Doc?
I don't know.
He's got all the x-rays are on the internet. He's got 17 pins. Dr. Bramlage did the surgery. 17. And he's got a rod and everything else. But he's walking great. He's moving great.
Well, I said I don't know. But what Dr. Bramlage does and developed the technique for is what we call ankylosing or fusing mm-hmm. a joint. So when they break down, especially in the fetlock area.
Yeah.
He'll put a plate with pins all over the place and basically take all of the motion out of that joint.
Yeah.
And then it fuses itself and gets a calcium deposit and it becomes one solid joint.
Yeah.
So then they flex with their pastern and their hoof joint.
Yeah.
You know, and so they can walk around pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
He looks great. I mean, he really
does
look great.
How long ago did this happen?
The injury happened almost 2 months ago.
Okay. Was he running?
He was working out at Gulfstream. It was that day, strange day at Gulfstream, where in the workouts, three horses broke down.
Is that
yeah.
Right?
And,
he's 9 years old and was still in training?
Yeah. Oh, he's winning races. But I thought it's amazing. I don't know how many people would pay for that kind of expensive surgery on an old gelding, you know, but it's really great that she did, and it's great that we have them.
It sounds like, Doc, what happened to that old gelding we've got at home. But But, you know, like you say, I couldn't afford to pay for that expensive stuff, but so we just stall rest, and now he's moving around great.
Yep. That joint locks on its own, and that is called fusion or ankylosing, but Dr. Bramlage developed the procedure to speed that up, so it's relatively quick to have happen. Otherwise, they got to be immobile for a long, long time, and then it'll eventually fuse.
Yeah. Now, how long are you going to have to keep him up?
A month, and then they'll look at him again, see what it says, see what they say, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
But Janet's doing a good job with him and Kent. And
well, you never did tell me. What'd your trifecta pay?
I forget, but it paid a lot. It paid enough to pay for the ticket, $100 or something like that. $100 and some bucks. I got a good one this week.
Wait a minute. On how much did you invest now?
I invested $10.
$10 and you got back $100, will it?
No, I invested $10 and I had it twice, so I got back just over $200.
Okay. Wow.
Losers.
Wow.
One of these days, I'm really afraid one of these losers is going to win. It's going to drive me out of my mind. It happened the other day. I was there the other day, and I said to my friend Joe, I said, Joe, I really like this horse. I said, this horse, if you go back and, you know, they have this fabulous machine there at Keeneland where you can go back and look at the races.
Yeah.
The past. So if you have something that says, you know, bad trip or had a bad time, you want to know how bad a time it was. So I went back and I looked at this horse.
Yeah.
And he's 33-1. And I said, look at this race. He's inside, he's outside, he got blocked here, he got blocked there. I mean, he's only going to have to prove a couple lengths to be competitive with this field. So I play him second. So I played him with another horse, second and third. Well, the other horse wins. This horse finishes third. And this horse finishes third. And the exacta, which I didn't have because my darn loser won, came back $780 for the exact.
Oh, but anyway. Have you got another?
You're going to love this one. When I was picking this one, I said, wait till Ursula finds out. We got all this good racing today. Loser of the week comes in the third race at Aqueduct.
All right.
You're going to love this. No, it's not the third. I'm sorry.
It's the...
Well, get your races straight.
I'm trying here. Oh, it's the
especially if you're going to give us numbers.
It's the seventh.
Seventh
at
race.
Aqueduct.
All right.
It's a $15,000 maiden claiming race.
Oh, okay.
New York breds.
Oh, wow.
I told Dursel was going to have a heart attack. He doesn't even, whenever he sees one of these races, he's like putting his fingers up, stop, stop. But anyway, the horse that I kind of like in here is a horse named Warrior from Above. He's an AP Warrior. He's out of a Conquistador Cielo mayor, so if it rains a little, that'll help us. He's 0 for 10.
0 for 10.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He's finished second once, and he's earned $8,946.
Okay.
But when you see the tote board, it's the same as if it was the Kentucky Derby, right? I mean, the odds in.
Yeah, right.
So if he does, he's 10 to 1 on the morning line. And last time they ran him mile 70, which is much too long for him. He's a real sprinter, and he finished 6 by 12. But if you go back to his 6 furlong race on the inner track at Aqueduct, he only lost by a nose going that distance at 40 to 1.
Oh, wow.
So I think...
You should have had him that day.
Sounds like my wife.
At least I don't have to sleep with you.
Yeah, thank
what
goodness.
A blessing.
Thank heaven for big favors. There's a Greg Matisse horse in here who's probably going to be the favorite, named Hook and Lateral, who almost won this condition last time, going 6 furlongs after off a several month layoff. And Greg's very good with that, so you might want to use Hook and Ladder and the one horse Maharini Ursula. Hey, it's almost named after Ursula. It's almost named after you, except spelled different.
Ursula,
anyway.
Maybe they meant Ursula Andrews.
Yeah. Anyway, that horse is dropping down out of maiden special weight, so, you know, that horse has got to be considered. So anyway, but it's number 2, Warrior from Above, in the 7th at Aqueduct, and let's hope he doesn't win.
All right, now how are you going to bet him?
I'm going to bet a small exacta with those other two horses, and then I'll use them in the trifecta with them, and then I'll bet a 10-cent super with them fourth.
Okay, 10-cent super.
Mm-hmm.
All in what?
No, I'll use the two horses who figure.
Oh, okay.
And on top with him second, third, and fourth in the 10-cent
super.
Oh, awesome.
Okay. All
so
right.
So you'll have to. I'm going to invest probably about $22.
All right. Wow, big time money this time.
Pretty specific.
Now that I'm getting overconfident.
You're getting out of my class and out of my league now.
But I knew you'd like that race, the seventh race. It's also the start of the late pick four, so anybody who's making money up to that point and wants to put them on top in a small 50-cent pick four ticket, it's a guaranteed $250,000 pot. So.
There you go.
And if he wins, I'll be disappointed, but you won't.
Yeah, right. Okay. All right, very good. Then the horse's name again, and it's the seventh race at Aqueduct today.
His name is Warrior from Above, and he's trained by Rodrigo Ibillo, who's had 35 starters. And here's the other interesting thing. He's only won 2 out of 35, but he's had 4 seconds and 8 thirds. And this is the third statistic is what we always like. We like a big number third.
Yeah, who's riding him?
Patrick Husbands.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What race is
it? He's Canadian, isn't he?
It's the seventh.
Yeah, Husbands, isn't he from Canada?
Yeah, he's related to the good one from Canada. He's
the bad one from Canada.
Well, I don't know whether he's a bad one or not, but the good one's really good.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I knew it was the Husbands that could ride up there.
Yeah. It's kind of like other families of riders.
Poor fellow.
There's early fires, then there's the other fires.
Yeah, right. All them fires. Huh?
Yes.
All right. Well, let me take a little break here, and we'll get Doc on. Mizzen Mass is off to a fast start in 2012. He's already represented by 3 graded stakes horses. Ultimate Eagle has won the Grade 2 $200,000 Strube Stakes at Santa Anita. Ms. Direction has won the Grade 3 Monrovia Stakes, also at Santa Anita. And the 3-year-old colt Z Dagger was a fast closing second, beating ahead in the Grade 3 Le Comp Stakes at the Fairgrounds. He stamped himself as a colt to watch for upcoming stakes along the Derby Trail. Mizzen Mass stands at Judmont Farm, home also of the Grade 1 Stakes winner First Defense. Now, the first foals by First Defense are 2-year-olds, and we expect him to get off to a fast start, too. That's because First Defense has terrific speed, Grade 1 speed, coupled with a superb pedigree. Sprint at 7 furlongs and 120 and 4, 121 and 2 to take the Grade 1 4 goal, 122 and 1 at Churchill. and 6 furlongs and 109 and 2 to win the Grade 3 Jaipur. As for pedigree, he's by Unbridled Song out of Grade 1 Stakes winner Honest Lady by Seattle Slough. And Honest Lady is a half-sister to Top Sire's Empire Maker in Chester House. First Defense stands for 7,500 live foal. Mizzen Mast for 12,500 live foal. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry. And see the website at judmont.com.
And Tommy Biederman at Biederman Auctioneers and Real Estate has some new listings. One is 1695 Grassy Springs in Versailles. It's in Woodford County. 281 acres. It's a gem. It's in the neighborhood of Pin Oak, Ashford, Diamond Egg, Gainsborough. It doesn't get much better than that either. Four really well-constructed horse barns, 84 stalls, main residence, $4,700 square feet. And a nice manager's house, too. Three employee residence, paddocks, the whole nine yards. You get it all. And it's got a 5.5-acre lake. So call Tommy. It's $3,800,000, which is right about the right price if you got the do-re-mi. Now, they've got 60 acres. Oak Haven Farm near Midway on Leestown Road, 2150 Leestown. 60 acres, and it's a bargain, $995,000, which that's not bad. It's 41 stalls, equipment building, the whole thing. Wow. This is another one. So if you're in the market, or if you're not in the market, or you got something for sale, also, Tom, of course, is an auctioneer. He's going to help do the auctioning at the Fayette County Farm Bureau auction on St. Patty's Day at the Horse Park. So it's BriedermanBrokerage.com, BIEDERMAN Brokerage.com,
277-2030. Well, let's see. Oh, I just did this one, didn't I? Tis Deja Vu. One more North American graded stakes than any other son of the great Tis now. He was a brilliant miler and a winner of 4 graded stakes, 3 at Churchill Downs, where he was virtually unbeatable, 1 at Arlington Park. He also placed in Grade 1 stakes at the classic distance of 1.25 miles. And those who saw him compete are not likely to forget his beautiful way of moving and his catch-me-if-you-can style of running. Tis Deja Vu received a quality book of 79 mares in his first season at stud last year. In fact, almost half his book were stakes winners or stakes producers or siblings to graded stakes horses. Now pay attention for the 2012 season at Crestwood Farm. Crestwood Farm is renewing their Breeders' Incentive Program to Tis Deja Vu. They're offering special consideration and, in some cases, complimentary seasons to stakes-winning or stakes-producing mares. And for non-qualifying mares, additional incentives are available. Just get in touch with Phil Hager, Robert Keck, at 252-3770. Tis Deja Vu stands at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. See the website at crestwoodfarm.com. All righty.
It's hard to believe with the way the ratings are going on this show that we could be moved around by some second-rate basketball team. That's all I can say.
Yeah, Kentucky plays at noon next week. And so, consequently, there's a pregame show. So we will be on from 9 till 11 next Saturday. 9 from 11 next Saturday. Write that down, Michael.
Means I can go early to the chapel next week.
To the where?
To the chapel.
The chapel?
Yeah, that's what I call Keeneland when I go to simulcast.
Oh, okay. That's about as close as you ever get to a chapel.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm a very holy person.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Hey, listen, another race last week, before we get on to the important stuff with Dr. Byers, was Get Stormy's race.
Okay.
Get Stormy won off a long layoff. Get Stormy's one of old friends' connected horse. He won the Gulfstream Turf Handicap Grade 1. Mm. And we like him because Mary Sullivan donated his dam sire, Kiri's Clown, to us.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the only time this horse has ever run badly was in the Breeders' Cup. Every other time he's really good. He's gonna be running here at Keeneland in April.
Very good.
Yeah, so that was a nice prep for a Grade 1 prep.
Are you taking one-year-old horses out there at Keeneland this
yes.
April?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
On Bluegrass Stakes Day, we're going to take Marquetry, it looks like, if everything's going well.
On Bluegrass Stakes mm-hmm. Day. Okay, well, you're taking a flashy-looking horse out
he's
there.
He's fabulous, yeah. And he loves the crowds, and he knows who he is, and he's just the best.
Yeah.
But congratulations to Mary and to
Besides two Storm. Breeders' Cup sprint winners, didn't he?
Marketing. Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Artax, who just died, actually.
Yeah.
And Squirtle Squirt, Bobby Frankel's horse.
Yeah, that's a terrible name, isn't it?
Yeah, Squirtle Squirt's a terrible name. We have his Breeders' Cup trophy, though.
There's a filly out here now named Snake in the Grass.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Really nice.
Well, Kevin Gorda,
can you imagine her winning the Oaks?
Yeah, right. It's Snake
oh
in the Grass.
Name engraved in there for all eternity. Snake in the Grass.
Yeah. Well,
nice. Yeah. Really nice.
She might be a run a little bit. Kellen Gorder has her. And Kellen's a good trainer, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, that's, I don't know what she's by. I'm afraid to ask. But, Doc, what's going on?
Oh, not much. Just still going up and down the road.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
You don't want to stop doing that.
No.
Nobody else wants him to stop doing it either.
Well, especially you.
I was thinking.
Yeah. I see you got your Cape Blanco.
I do, and Michael gave me an old friend's coat, too. And
I just, saw that.
I grabbed this because it's a little bit lighter than the old friend's coat.
Coolmore pays better to have him wear that one.
Well, I bet
he's like one of
those. I bet they'll pay more. I bet he does better with Coolmore than he does with old friends.
You think so?
Oh, I know so.
Gee whiz. They must be paying him really well.
Yeah, right. If they're paying him at all. Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to think of a topic, and I just driving around these beautiful roads and the farms and thinking about the limestone soil, and the horses supposedly are here because of that, which is probably not entirely true. But and I got thinking about calcium and how that influences a lot of horse raising areas. So in California, for example, they have some problems with it because the water is hard.
The grass is no grass.
Yeah, and magnesium is in that water, and it combines with calcium. And so and they feed a lot of alfalfa hay. In fact, that's really the main hay they feed. And it's very, very high in calcium content.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of horses out there get stones. They get them in their bowel. They get them in their kidneys. They get them where they bust out of the bowel or bust out of the kidney and go into the abdomen. They get peritonitis and they die. So a lot of those places have to have water softeners on those farms and kind of watch their dietary intake. And, of course, one horse that develops a problem that's related to that is kind of a marker. He's a sentinel, is what we say medically, that tells you, hey, you know, we got something that all the horses could potentially develop. So this one that we lost teaches us that we're going to have to do some things different. But anyway, I thought I'd key in on calcium. For the foaling mares now, most people are aware that there is a quick test you can buy as a kit. And you, when she gets close to foaling, the calcium will start to elevate. And when it elevates significantly, she's usually going to foal within 24 hours. If she doesn't, the percentage chance, 50% or greater within 24 hours when it gets above 200 micrograms in the of calcium in the milk. Mm-hmm. And it's about 50%, but you get out 72 hours, it's 90%+. Hmm. So it's a marker. It's not foolproof. And, of course, we've got foaling people here, so it's not really that needed. But we're spoiled here in many ways because we have those night watchmen, and they'll foal them out. But if you're a person in, go back to California or go back to Montana, you know, and you've got some significant money invested, you wind up being the full watch person. And, boy, that gets old.
Yeah.
They want to know every trick they can come up with to tell us when they're foaling. So the calcium in the milk is one of the things they do. They also have devices like the foal alert system where they have a a buzzer that goes off, and well, not a buzzer, but it signals a it'll ring your phone or whatever. When it gets pulled apart, it's sutured to the vulval lip. So when the mirror lays down and those begin to part, then your phone will go off. And so you can use those devices.
Wow.
But in any event, well, you don't have anybody to fool
out
there.
No, I don't, but that's really interesting.
Yeah. So what happens with calcium regulation? We've got all these supplements that I think we've visited time and time again that we can throw things out of balance. So you've got really two principal hormones. You've got calcitonin, which takes the calcium out of the bloodstream, puts it in the bone. Mm-hmm. So you got to have that hormone present for that. Then you've got, when you need calcium in the circulation, and we'll talk a little bit about the circulating calcium in a little bit, then you have another hormone called parathormone. And it draws out of the bone and regulates your calcium level. So a lot of times your calcium in the blood doesn't really tell you what's in the body because it's going into the bone for storage or development, or it's being pulled out. So if you were calcium deficient, you wouldn't know that.
Hmm.
Because you're drawing it out of there, so when you look in the bloodstream, you've got a normal calcium. But that's what rickets is. You draw it out so much that people that are deficient, eventually their bones break. So they have what's called spontaneous fractures. Now, luckily, we don't see that. The feed that we give these animals is relatively balanced, and if we're going to make a mistake, we're probably going to give too much calcium rather than too little.
Yeah.
So then the body has to handle that. And there are three entities that really show too much calcium. One, we actually had a big court case over about 20 years ago. It was a stallion that was being retired to stud, and he had calcium deposits all over his body. And they never proved it, but they thought, and he was insured for a lot of money, and he never went to stud, and he had these calcium deposits. Well, he thought at the racetrack he was getting too much vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
And vitamin D stimulates calcium absorption from the gut. So that's where you get your calcium. That's why you hear on the radio, you know, get some sunshine. Don't overdo it, but get some ultraviolet light, because that converts vitamin D to a form called D3, which absorbs the calcium puts in the bloodstream. So that's one mechanism that could cause for too much calcium toxicosis. Other is kidney failure. Horses that are in advanced kidney failure, their calciums are very, very high. And I mentioned the parathyroid gland, which releases parathormone to pull the calcium out of bone. When you get certain cancers, squamous cell carcinomas of the stomach and lymphoma, their calciums will be extremely high because they secrete a hormone from those tumors that's very much like parathormone. So they get really high levels of calcium. And that's one of those things where this horse is just not doing right, and then the veterinarian pulls the blood, and he sees a calcium that's 16, which it ought to be 11 or 12. So that's a red flag, should leap right out of him. He's got to start looking into some of these problems. It could be a serious problem. Too little calcium is where we get what we call hypocalcemic tetany. When the nerve fires to the muscle, it recharges with calcium there. But if they don't have enough calcium, it just keeps firing. So then these animals look like they have tetanus. And where do you get them? Well, there's a thing called lactational tetany in mares. The foal is draining her too much, and you go in the stall one day, and she's stiff as a board, her third eyelid's popping up, and she looks like she's got tetanus, and she's well-vaccinated and everything else. Well, if she's got a big foal draining her, that is where we get what we call lactational tetany. Another one is transport tetany, where they get on a van and they get stressed. And stresses and colics will lower calcium because there's supposed to be a term, or theoretically, a calcitonin burst, where that hormone that puts calcium in the bone bursts and gets way too much of it, and so now you become hypocalcemic secondary to stress. So a lot of the colics are are low calcium, and you can spot them. They're stiff. They walk like a tetanus horse. We know performance-wise, thumps, you know, diaphragmatic flutter is related to low calcium. So a horse sweats a lot of calcium out prior to a race. He lathers up, runs that race, and then he's stiff and his diaphragm is thumping, where every heartbeat he has a synchronous flutter of that. So the veterinarian gives him some calcium with some chloride solution, and boom, he's immediately well. But it's another mechanism that they go through. The calcium measurements, it can be bound to the proteins, or it can be active where it's ionized in the circulation. Very few labs measure both.
Yeah.
But they don't really need to, because a lot of the clinical things are very obvious. So, but anyway, I just thought I'd run that by.
Yeah. Very good.
Well, a lot of the stuff that's out here, we're blessed with, it's in balance, but we don't want to screw it up.
Yeah.
So he looks at me when he says that. Yeah. You notice that?
Yeah, all right. All right, okay. Doc. Thank you. Let me take a break here. Yeah, let's see. Well, if you're breeding to race and you're looking for a sire standing for a modest fee, take a look at Mustanfar. Now, Mustanfar, from 5 starters in his first small crop, has 2 winners and 2 to place. Mothiba has won and placed in stakes in Europe. Mukumar won a stakes special, a maiden special, in his first start, posted a win in allowance company, and has 2 wins and 3 seconds and 5 starts. Groom of Doom has been on the board in 4 of his 6 starts, all in maiden specials, and Fortune Afar placed at Oakland in his most recent start. So Mustanfar siring runners, which, like their sire, are likely to improve with maturity. Mustanfar won graded stakes at Keeneland, graded stakes at Belmont as a 3-year-old. In fact, he won a place to 9 graded stakes for earnings of over $625,000. He is the son of Classic Winner and sire of Sires Unbridled. His dam is out of champion height of fashion. Dam of 6 stakes winners, 3 champions. Mustanfar stands for $3,000 live foal at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stallion manager Ken Barnes, and see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
Quillen Leather and Tack in Paris, Kentucky is once again pushing these calico halters. They giving you any calico halters out there?
Yeah, but we got a big order coming in because we put out on the internet that we're selling halters off of our horses for $250. So we've got about an order for
brace
about
20, yourself, Ralph.
20 replacement halters coming in, Ralph.
I think mostly the calico halters are foal and newborn halters because they use small pieces. So what these are is they have leftovers when they make the big halters, leftover pieces, and they're small enough to make nice baby halters, foal halters, so they stitch them up, and they're real cute. And besides, when they're out for a day, they're all going to look the same anyway. Doesn't make any difference. They're all
exactly
going to be covered
right.
with
And they all
blood.
Work.
Yeah, so they all work. Anyway, they're just $16.95, and you want to order today because it goes fast. Now, they're quillin.com, Quillin.com, or locally, in Paris, 987-0215.
We have to go shop more at Quillen's, too, because, you know, we've got to keep Ralph going in his flamboyant new lifestyle.
He has a flamboyant new lifestyle.
Yes,
that
he does.
That wild man is all over Facebook.
I know. It's unbelievable.
He's got nice one bar after another.
I know. He told me he wants to open up a brewery in Paris.
Yeah, exactly.
A bar, yeah.
Yeah.
A pub.
Yeah.
Boy, he follows these rock and roll bands.
He figures, why should he be giving his money to everybody else? He could give them to it himself.
Well, not only that, he knows every rock and roll band, every hippie band in 7 counties, I believe.
Yeah, he does. Yes, he does. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Yeah. He looks like that guy. Have you seen that ad where the guy ends up with the cats and sitting on the couch with the beard and everything?
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
Ralph, I hope you haven't seen that commercial. Well, Homie back won his first 2 starts as a 2-year-old, the first at Arlington Park and the second at Keeneland. Then in his first start as a 3-year-old, he won the grade 2 $500,000 Lane's End Stakes. Later, he ran second to Summerbird, the champion 3-year-old colt that year, and now his stablemate at Windstar Farm, in the historic grade 1 Travers with Quality Road 3rd. second in the Grade 1 Bluegrass Stakes at Keeneland, and first in the Grade 3 Dominion Day Handicap up at Woodbine. Homey Back was equally adept on dirt and artificial, retired with earnings of over $872,000. He entered stud last year. Breeders came to see him, liked what they saw, and he covered 100 mares in his first season at stud. Hold Me Back is by champion sire Giant's Causeway out of Restraint by Unbridled Song. Restraint's Dam is a Vowel, a champion three-year-old filly and champion sprinter in Canada, and a worthy representative of a female family, which has already given us the likes dozens of major stakes winners, including the great Tom Fool. Hold Me Back stands for $6,000. Doing a full stands in nurses, there's a 5% discount if paid by November 1. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy or Jenny Barnett, 873-1717. See the website, windstarfarm.com. Howard's here with Dutcher. Dutcher's getting his first haircut today. Dutcher is now about 15, 16 months?
Almost
16 months now.
Almost 15.
Yeah. He started walking before he was a year old.
I know, he looks great.
Yeah. Turn that mic on. There we go.
He looks great. Well, if anybody wants to come, yeah, really.
They're going to breeze him next week.
Put the clock on him. Well, anybody wants to come out for a tour today, it's a beautiful day to come out and see him. Arson Squad won't be on the tour for a while, but he'll be going good.
Probably look at him in the stall, can't you?
Peeks through the window, I guess. Bother the poor guy.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't bother him. He'd probably like the company. Yeah.
All right, well, there you go. Yeah. Then he comes here. Anyway, next Saturday is our big old friends along the Bourbon Trail at the Seelbach Hotel. So if you haven't made your reservations yet, I think there's a few tables still available. It's $100. You get dinner. You get all this great bourbon. You get a half price on a hotel room just in case, you know, if you drink a little too much, you don't want to hit the road. You stay in that great hotel for cheap.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It really, really is. We have a lot of great auction items.
You've done this for several years now, haven't you?
This is the fourth year, yeah. And we thank the Bourbon Trail Distillers. They've been great to us. And we're very, very grateful.
Okay. Very nice.
All right, Ursel, thank you very much, buddy.
Well, thank you, my friend. Jackie, want to do some announcements now? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be right over there.
All righty. Wait a minute. Stagger around. Dutcher is saying hello to the Michael, and he loves Doc. Now, Jackie wandered out right now. Come on back in here, for God's sakes. Well, good. You left me hanging out to dry over here.
Oh, wine.
Okay.
No, I wanted to... Michael, I was asked if...
Hey, you might want to call. Is that for Dutcher?
Yeah, Michael.
Oh, that's nice. You like that Dutcher? It's a briar.
A briar horse. It's
Bull in the Heather.
Bull in the Heather.
Yeah,
that's nice.
Yeah, that's a nice. The box is great, isn't it? You know, those things will sell.
Oh, they will. Yeah. Those little girls. That's why they wanted a gray one.
Yeah.
Little girls like that kind of stuff. Mm. Oh, that's funny. You know that horse Hanson?
Yeah, I know that horse.
They wanted to give him a... Is he working or something? No, oh, he's on a pony. He wants to know what something worked, I think. Anyway, he wanted to dye his mane and tail blue for some cause or another, and they turned him down.
They wouldn't let him do it? Well, that's...
No, I think, you know, he can get a real tacky blue bridle or something if he wants.
Tie a ribbon around his tail.
Yeah, I'm not at odds with that decision myself. Because, you know, you do that once, and they're going to have sparkly tails, and they're going to have God knows what, you know. It's
gonna, Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Old stick in the mud. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I am. Kentucky Thoroughbred Farm Managers Club is very active in thoroughbred business. You meet a lot of people in the horse business. It's been, how long has that been going on? Farm managers, how many years?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. I was going to it back in 1960, 58, 59, 60.
Yeah.
But it was on prior to that.
Yeah. It's been going on a long time, and they want to reach out now and get other members, new people, that have moved in that might not know the younger ones.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're interested or you're a member already and you want to get somebody else, give them, well, let me tell you what. First I'll give you ktfmc.org, Kentucky Thoroughbred Farm Managers Club.org, or give them a call. They'd love to have you. There's a, they have monthly meetings except August when, everybody supposedly goes to Saratoga.
Yeah, if you're not a farm manager, you can be an associate member if you're not working on a farm or something like that.
Yeah.
We've got a bunch of insurance, of people selling horse insurance and things like that.
Yeah, stuff like that. Any, if you're connected to the horse business, you get to meet other people in the horse business.
Yeah.
And they have the golf scramble. They have a sporting clays tournament in summer, a trail ride, dinner dance, and, of course, the thing at Christmas. It's always a big dance, and that's awards and all that kind of stuff. So,
Farm Manager of the Year. Thing.
Farm Manager of the Year. So.
Yeah.
The telephone number is 948. That's somebody's cell number. 948-7321. Go to ktfmc.org. All right, this is funny. High Hope Steeplechase is coming up in the spring. So they're trying to get the course taken care of and worked on. Now, Bill Wofford's in charge of this. Now, last week, Bill Wofford had this big workday schedule working on the course, and we said, it said, bring shovels, and we said he'd have to bring dynamite because it was so cold and it was frozen. So he scheduled one, woohoo, for tomorrow.
It's supposed to snow.
And it's supposed to snow. So if there's snow on the ground, they won't be. But if you want to call Bill Wofford and see when they may be going to reschedule it again. I mean, he's snake bit with this one. Bill Wofford's phone number is 338-7858.
Well, February 11th at Gulfstream, the grade one $500,000 Don handicap was won by Hembook, a six-year-old son of Arch. Now, Hembook is the eighth grade one stakes winner by Arch, who stands at Claiborne Farm. His stud fee over there is $30,000. One of those eight grade one stakes winners is the fleet Arch, winner of the grade one $1 million Arkansas Derby, the grade three Southwest stakes at Oak Lawn Park, and the Sugar Bowl stakes at the fairgrounds, for earnings of over $832,000. The only son of Arch to win stakes at both 2 and 3, Arch whipped a field which included three grade 1 stakes winners in the Arkansas Derby. And in six starts over a five-month period, he was never off the board. Arch is bred along the same lines as Eclipse Award winner Blame, both of Arch, of course, out of mares from the Mr. Prospector line. Blame is standing his second season at stud for $35,000. Arch is standing his first season at stud for $10,000, due when the foal stands and nurses. Breeding incentives are available. Just check with Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Sean Feld or Ned Toffee over at Spendthrift Farm. Number there is 294-0030, and see the website at spendthriftfarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at brisnet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2 and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
All right, well, Kentucky bred stakes winners last year. This is the compliments of my good friend David Schweitzer over at the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association. They ran five graded stakes last weekend. Kentucky breds won four of them. The other one was foaled in Great Britain. The Don Handicap Grade 1 winner, Hembook, of course, by Arch, we just talked about him, was bred by Stuart S. Janney III. The Gulfstream Park Turf Handicap Grade 1 winner was Get Stormy. Get Stormy bred by Mary A. Sullivan. The San Marcos Stakes, Grade 2, that was the one that was foaled over in, I believe that's, foaled in Great Britain, Slim Shady. That's what's the two of them. The Hutchison, the Grade 3 Stakes, Grade 2 down at Gulfstream Park. Winner was Thunder Moccasin. Thunder Watchman, bred by Stonewall Farm Stallions, which at that time was located in Kentucky. The Suwannee River Stakes, Grade 3 at Gulfstream Park, went to Snowtop Mountain, bred and owned, incidentally, by Barbara Hunter. In other stakes, these are non-graded stakes, but stakes races nevertheless. The Maryland Racing Media Stakes winner, Lacey Slew, was bred by Canyon Capital. That's in Kentucky. The Champion Energy Services Stakes at Sam Houston, Great Mills won that, bred by Millennium Farms. That's, incidentally, a four-year-old from the first crop by Warfront. And he won stakes last year at Saratoga and at the fairgrounds, so that's his third stakes win. Of course, Warfront over at Claiborne Farm. The Martha Washington Stakes down at Oaklawn Park went to Amy's Denny, bred by the Del Ridge Farm. Let's see if I've got another one or two. Yeah, I do. The Caribo Stakes at Sunland Park was bred, Vamoose was the winner, and it was bred by Everest Stables, probably raised over at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. Oh, and we got one abroad, and this is a Group 2 race, the Al Maktoum Challenge Round 2, sponsored by Dubal, United Arab Emirates. And the winner was Mendip, and Mendip is by Harlan's Holiday, of course. He's, and Harlan's Holiday stands at Windstar Farm, this one bred by the JFB Stables. And this horse has won $880,000. He won stakes last year over there. He won graded stakes as a four-year-old. It says graded stakes as a five-year-old, which he is now, and he won stakes as a three-year-old also. In fact, he's won six of his nine starts. And he's a Harlan's Holiday, who is a very nice stay. Okay, Jackie?
Yeah, on the 14th, the governor introduced Senate Bill. That's 151. So this is the one that allows us to vote on whether or not they want expanded gambling, gambling in Kentucky, up to five casinos at racetracks, and specifies that the horse industry will be a beneficiary of expanded gaming. Now, people need to call. You need to. You can go to KEEP, Kentucky Equine Education Project. Is that what that stands for? I think so. Anyway, you can find them online, but you can also go to the Kentucky State Legislature, find your senator, and give them a call and say, please do something. We are falling farther and farther behind. We're making the Indiana casinos richer. Ohio is now going to have one, a casino in Cincinnati, which means you can kiss Turfway Park goodbye, and then we won't have year-round racing. We have people that live here year-round just because we can train and race year-round in Kentucky, and if Kentucky loses its signature industry, we're bound down to nothing.
Yeah, you can kiss the tourist industry goodbye,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, tourists and all that kind of stuff. So, we need a lot of phone calls. You want to go fetch it? Your guest, or
I think it might be Jerry. I've never met him.
Okay, want me to go see if it is?
Rusty, will get him.
His name's Jerry Duffy.
Yeah, say Jerry, is that you?
And if it is, come on in. If it isn't, grab a watch.
Oh, he's on the phone.
Oh, okay. All right. This is a funny one. The horse park is going to have a statewide horse grooming contest on March 31st. It's for everybody, but it will help 4-H, future farmers, then the pony clubs, and other youth groups. An opportunity to demonstrate their ability to groom a horse. So, going to have senior and junior divisions, champion and reserve champion. It's going to be fun. That's a good idea. You can get your horse going and for the spring, make him look nice, and you might win a prize. Contact Sheila Forbes at 233-4305. That's 233-4305. Or, if you can't remember all that, call the horse park, and I'm sure they will help you. Now, oh, yeah, isn't that funny? I just think it's great. I wish they'd take some of ours that somebody could groom. You think there's any chance we could load up some and take them over there and say, see those nasty things in their manes and tails?
The ropes,
clean them. So I just think that's fun. Now, they're also going to have a interactive exhibits for children. They're going to have a educational kids barn in the old draft horse barn. So it's going to be like a school, so school-age kids can learn about things, interactive exhibits. I guess you interact with a horse. So all little girls are horse crazy. This might...
Come on over and sit down, Jerry.
This might encourage some more. So you want to... It's, let's see, call the horse park. Laurie Mays, 233-4305.
All right. Well, Kodiak Cowboy earned an Eclipse Award as champion sprinter. Champion sprinters have done quite well at stud. Remember Sprightstown? Kodiak Cowboy garnered his Eclipse Award as a four-year-old after winning three grade one stakes. But he was also brilliant at two and three. At two, he won graded six at Saratoga and Churchill and was named champion two-year-old in Canada. Then at three, he won two more graded stakes, and he earned black type in grade one stakes at two, three, and four. And he earned more than $1,663,000. First foals are yearlings. It stands for $6,500 due in the foal stands and nurses. So where else can you breed to a young Eclipse Award winner standing for such a reasonable fee? Stands at Vinery, a full-service facility with state-of-the-art locations in Kentucky, New York, Florida. So stop by and talk to John Gasper, Grant Williamson, Francis Rillihan, or Steve Castanola. Number over there is 455-9388. Ask how they can be of assistance and check the website at vinery.com.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
From the Toyota of Nicholasville studios, this is WLXG Lexington, ESPN, Sports Radio 1300.
Toyota Nicholasville, where price sells cars.
Well, the first foals by Eclipse Award winner Stevie Wonderboy raced to two last year. He's the sire of 15 winners, two stakes winners, plus another that's placed in stakes. He's the sire of Made to Lover, winner of the Moccasin Stakes at Hollywood Park, and second in the Grade 2 Santa Anita Stakes at Santa Anita. I think she's supposed to go into Grade 1 Stakes next. Also, California Stakes winner Run Stevie Run, winner of the CF Applebaum Stakes, and Starship Flair was second by Knowles in the Grade 3 Miesque at Hollywood Park. That's three first crop stakes horses, two of them graded stakes horses, plus first crop winners with three of them at Woodbine, two at Calder, others at Gulfstream, Golden Gate, Del Mar, Tampa Bay. So they're winning wherever they're asked to run. Stevie Wonderboy stands for a fee of $5,000 a live foal. Breeders' incentives are available. And that's a bargain for a champion two-year-old that is siring runners. He stands at Mr. and Mrs. Bird and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. Check the website at airdriestud.com. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
I got the horse right here. The name is Paul Revere. And here's a guy that says if the weather is clear, can do.
All righty, well, we're starting the second hour of this mess. And Jerry Duffy has joined me. He's from over at Windstar Farm, and another Irishman sits in today. I was talking to Jerry off the air, and he says, I'm trying to run through all Irishmen in central Kentucky, and he says, that's a hell of a long list.
A tough act to follow from last week from Porrig and Naveen, but we'll do our best.
They're two of my favorite people. They're a lot of fun. You haven't been in Windstar very long.
No, the beginning of December.
Yeah.
So it's been December when it was a bit of a blur, to be honest. We got stuck in right after the November sale, and the phone was hopping. I could barely keep up with it all, but we managed.
Wow,
and,
man!
And we got a lot of mares booked in, so it's been great.
Exactly. What do you do over there now, Jerry?
So I'm the Stallion Seasons Director. So myself, along with Jenny Burnett, we sell all the seasons. Actually there's a lot involved. Over at Darley I was selling nominations, but over Windstar now there's a bit more involved with marketing. We've got a lot of shareholders.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been busy.
Well, I imagine you have, but you've got some ammunition.
that's the best part of it all.
Yeah.
You know, every one of those horses over there has a legitimate excuse to be a stallion, so it makes my job very easy. The phone's been ringing and they're booking up, so.
Yeah. Well, I think I could sell some of those. See, I could spell a Sprite's Town.
Well, don't take me out of a job here now. Don't tell Elliot that. But no, it's been very easy, and it's down to the horses. You know, we've got a great bunch of young, exciting stallions.
Yeah.
And like I said, you can make a strong case for any one of them being a, you know, making it. So,
I think the last count you had three of the top 15 already this year on the sire list.
Correct. Yeah. So.
Yeah, Distorted Humor.
Distorted Humor.
Who else? Spite's Town.
Harless Holiday. Mendip has had Tim out a bit.
Yeah. Nice horse. I just did a commercial on him.
Great.
And he's, yeah.
And our young stallions sold really well. You know, we had First Crop Foals from Colonel John and U.S. Ranger last year. And, you know, the Colonel John's averaged over 100. U.S. Mm-hmm. Ranger's averaged over 10 times the stud fee. So, mm-hmm. in turn, meant that those guys were very busy. So,
yeah.
It's been great. May it last.
My favorite horse over there, of course, is his now. Yeah. But
he's a superstar.
It's funny, actually,
I pulled into a... I was out looking at a couple of foals last week, and I pulled into Starbucks to get a coffee, and there was a car with a Washington State number plate on it that said Tisnow.
You're kidding.
I'm deadly serious.
Did you check them out?
Oh, I took a picture. I was trying to find who the driver was.
Well, I would have gone in there and shouted, who in the hell is driving a Tisnow car?
Who's driving a Tisnow car? Yeah. Well, it just goes to show you there's fans from all over the country.
Well, yeah, all over the world for that horse, as far as that matters. I mean, those two Breeders' Cup Classic races were beautiful.
Unbelievable.
The second one, you know. Yeah. Chris McCarron has his jock school out here, and he rode him.
Oh, his school is out here.
Okay, oh, yeah, it's at the horse barn. In, the big barn up at the top.
Oh,
I think
it's
28, I believe it is.
That's great.
Yeah. And
you don't see too many loose horses down here as a result of the jock school, no?
You see quite a few.
I'd say you do. The rookies.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they start them out on the... We've got two tracks out here, and they start them out on the 5/8 track now.
Yeah.
And they're just now coming out, the newest class.
Oh, very good.
You know, but, you know, he's
turning... You need the freshmen. You need to put them on the pony club horses to start with. And...
Oh, this is my wife. She used to do some legal work for the pony club or something. I don't know. And they gave her this, and I just grabbed it. I wear my wife's clothes. I'm in drag this morning.
That's fair enough.
This is a vest.
Yeah.
I'm saying that to clear that up over the air.
Yeah, we can't see you, so we need
to... but he was telling me a story about prior to the second win, Breeders' Cup win.
Yeah.
That horse he'd gotten so where he didn't want to work. And he was just took him out and were playing around with him, you know, and he would take him out and just play around. He went over behind the gate with him and was just standing him back there. And they wanted to get a work in him. And he just didn't want to work. And all of a sudden, he says, on his own, says the horse just took off jogging and then just took off. He says he turned in a hell of a work. And that was his last work before the Breeders'
Cup. Before the Breeders' Cup.
Before the Classic, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So I thought that was an interesting story on a horse. So
it's special. I was actually down in our breeding shed this morning just watching a few of the mares coming through. And there was a picture of Tisnow beating Saki on the wall. And there was Steve Haskins, I guess, his script on it.
Yeah.
And it was still gives you goosebumps to this day reading about it, you know.
Oh, I know. What was the football? I think it was the Patriots team, wasn't it? The pro football team. And he was trying to teach his team, said, never give up. And he showed him that race. And he showed it when Saki came to him, you know.
Yeah.
And he stopped it right there. He said, now who's going to win this? And everybody was saying, well, the other horse, you know. And then he went on and played it, you know, and they finished it. He never give up.
Just showed him digging back in.
And I said, that's what guts is all about.
He said,
they must have been a racing fan. I think it was Patriots.
Yeah.
But I'm not...
Oh, I'll go with that.
Yeah.
I can't tell you otherwise.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. You're of course, native from Ireland.
That's correct, Jeff, from County Kildare.
From County Kildare.
So just outside of Kill, where Goffs is.
Uh-huh.
About 2 miles up the road there, a little village called Kilteal. But no one knows about Kilteal, so I say Goffs.
Tell me about it. How big is it?
Well, we've a pub, a church, and a phone box.
listed in that order.
A parish of about 150 people. So
is that right?
Yes, that's about it.
Yeah. And you find most of them in the pub.
You find most of them, yeah. You go from the pub, then go over to Mass, and then back to the pub, and that's about it.
That's pretty good. Was your family in the horse business?
They're not in thoroughbreds per se. Dad keeps a couple of sport horse mares and tricks around with a few horses. So my introduction to horses was through riding. We had a couple of ponies when I was a kid, and we do a bit of show jumping on ponies and stuff. So
do any fox hunting?
A little bit. Did here you? And there. Yeah. More show jumping was kind of my, but I'll do a bit of fox hunting. Get out with the Woodfords the very occasional time.
Oh, do you go out with Woodford?
Well, James Keogh has been trying to get me out for the longest time, and we're so busy it's hard. But I've been out a little bit in the summer just exercising the hounds and doing a little bit. But it's fun.
Yeah, Jackie's a member, but she hadn't been able to ride in the last three. We had our daughter got injured real bad.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, it's one of those things.
Yeah.
And so she hadn't been able to go, spending a whole lot of time with her.
Yeah. Oh, it's great when you can.
Yeah.
But that was my introduction to it, really, from show jumping. And then I had to, I reached about 14 or 15 and needed to get a bit of a summer job to get a bit of pocket money. So I went and worked for Tony Ryan's farm in Ireland, Lyons Domain.
Oh, okay.
And so I worked there all up through school and college, weekends and summer holidays.
Yeah, and on Stead Farm there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the same guy that owns Cattle and Lyons.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he had Lyons Domain in Ireland. And
what's the farm like over there? Is it?
Oh, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
It's actually, I kind of have a bit of a history with the farm there because my dad works for University College Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
And University College Dublin actually owned about 2,000 acres of that farm. And they sold about 650 to Michael Smurfit, and Dr. Ryan in turn bought it off them. So I was kind of always hanging around it and liked it. And I said, well, that'll be a nice place to have our summer job. So I went up and knocked on the door one day.
Yeah.
And started working there. But it was a beautiful
farm.
What
were you working with?
I was picking stones out of fields and painting fences and bringing in and out mares the odd time and whatever needed to be done. We had about 200 head of purebred Charolais cattle.
Ah.
And about 12 mares and foals and yearlings.
Yeah. Well, that's fun. So you know something about cattle too then?
Sure, a little bit anyway.
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, let me take a little break here, Jerry, and I'll get right back to you. Got to pay the bills around here, you know. Well, last Saturday at Gulfstream, the grade one $500,000 Don Handicap was won by Him Book, a son of Arch, bred and owned by Stuart S. Janney III and trained by Shug McGahee. Breaking from post position 10, Him Book survived a rough trip to beat a stellar field of graded stakes winners, including two classic winners. He's won 7 of his 14 starts, has earned over $600,000. Him Book is the 8th grade one stakes winner by Arch, a list that includes 4 champions, including the brilliant Breeders' Cup Classic winner, Blame, who retired with earnings of more than $4,368,000. Blame's first foal to do this year, and mares and foal to his cover, sold for up to $800,000 in 2011. Blame stands for $35,000. 2011 yearlings by Arch sold for an average of $134,891, with a high of $494,000. Arch stands for $30,000. Fees are payable when the foal stands and nurses. For more information, contact Bernie Sams at Claiborne Farm and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business: the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
We're looking at Lucky was a champion 2-year-old of his year, earned an Eclipse Award by winning the Grade 1 Cash Call for Tootie, the Grade 1 Del Mar for Tootie, the Grade 1 Norfolk Stakes, the Grade 2 Best Pal, and by finishing a not-so-lucky second and beating ahead in his only loss of two in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile. At three, looking at Lucky, won the Classic, Grade 1 Preakness, the Grade 1 Haskell Invitational, the Grade 2 Indiana Derby, and the Grade 2 Rebel Stakes. That's four graded stakes wins at four different tracks. Retired with earnings of over $3,307,000. Now, that's what you call a runner. And looking at Lucky as a pedigree to match. He's a smart strike who has twice topped a North American sire list. His dam's two foals of racing age are looking at Lucky, and the multiple graded stakes winner Kensey. His second dam is a graded stakes producer and is the grand dam of two champions. Third dam is a grade one stakes winner, so it's a high-performance pedigree. Champion, looking at Lucky, stands a Coolmore's Ashford Stud for $30,000 doing a full stands of nurses. First foals are due this year. Leading sires, potential leading sires only at Coolmore. Yeah, I'm talking to Jerry Duffy from over at Windstar Farm, and I had him working on a stud farm in Ireland when we departed a moment ago.
Are we in America yet?
No, I had you picking up rocks in the field.
Oh, I was picking stones and painted fences. Yeah. Well, anyway, I stayed there all through school and college, and I was...
Where'd you go to college?
Trinity College in Dublin.
Oh, okay.
Studied mechanical engineering.
Oh, well, that gets you in horse business.
Well, it shouldn't have, but anyway, I was about to graduate college, and Dr. Ryan said one day, what are you doing when you finish college? And I said, well, I have a few engineering jobs. I think I might have a job with Caterpillar, yeah, doing something or another, and we were looking at a tire company, all sorts of boring stuff. And he said, well, what about doing the horse business full-time? And I said, well, Dr. Ryan, I appreciate it, but I said, I can't stay mucking stalls for $2 an hour forever. Yeah. And he said, well, we'd send you over to the farm in America and, you know...
Pay you $3 an hour.
yeah. And they're bigger stones. And so anyway, I got thinking and, you know, I said, a friend of mine from college had done the Darley Flying Star program. And I said, well, Doc, I said, if I'm going to go the horses full time, I'd like to get a better education in it. So there's this Flying Star program that Darley has put on.
Oh, wow.
That I've no chance of getting on, but sure, we'll apply anyway and see what happens. So he said, you go and apply for that, and if you get it, great, but if you don't, you know, come to the farm in America. And whatever happened, however lucky I got, I managed to get a place on the Flying Star.
Well, that's so great. Wow.
So that said, that waved goodbye to the engineering.
They don't give them any of those a year. How many people get those?
They take on 12 students every year from all over the world.
Out of how many applicants, I wonder?
The year I applied, it was about 300.
Yeah,
and
wow.
They interviewed 50 then all over the world, so...
Would you get one of them in a pub or something and loosen them up?
Oh, yeah. I don't know what happened. I don't know what I get on today. But it was the most wonderful opportunity.
Oh, yeah. Where'd they send you, Jerry?
We spend time in, it's a 2-year program. We spend time in Ireland, England, Australia, the US and Dubai. And it's a mixture between kind of hands-on work. You're working with stallions, foaling mares, farriers, vets, trainers, blacksmiths. And then the other part of it, you're doing sort of, you know, the theory. You look at, you do animal welfare modules, so health and disease, physiology, you know, reproduction management. You take in some law aspects, you know, insurance issues, business issues. So
wow.
It's a master's degree in the thoroughbred business in 2 years, I guess.
In 2 years?
Yeah.
Boy, that's great.
It was wonderful. And you know, just the camaraderie, there's 12 guys there together, living,
no girls?
Eating, working. Well, girls, yeah. We had 8 guys and 4 girls.
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
those odds.
So, so that was, but it was great, you know, and just the friendships that are built from it are, you know.
Yeah.
So I finished the Flying Star program in 2007.
Yeah.
And then was at Darley for four and a half years.
Did you go to straight? You didn't go back to Castle?
Castle and Lyons. In the time I was on the Flying Start, it was pretty sad, really, because Dr. Ryan passed away.
Right.
And then John Ferguson was good enough to ask me to come over and sell nominations at Darley in America. So so that's what I did.
Okay, well, they're nice people over at Darley. Of course, I've known the Bell family forever. I know Jimmy real well. And his daddy, I don't know if you didn't meet John.
No,
Johnny Bell III. Great.
Yeah, I would have enjoyed that because I hear nothing but great things about him.
Oh, he was, everybody loved him.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, very modest, you know.
Yeah.
And he raised all kinds of good horses.
And Jimmy is an absolute gentleman. I think he's a great ambassador and, you know, for the sport and for the farm and for Sheikh Mohammed. And I really enjoyed my time over there.
Yeah. I've had Michael Berry on. And of course, I had Jimmy on a long time. I'd like to get Jimmy back on again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a number of years since I've had Jimmy on.
He's got some fancy Derby horses now this year to tell you all about. So.
They've got a lot of ammunition.
Yeah. Bernardini's firing a lot of bullets, and they're going great, you know. Yeah.
You all looking for a son of Bernardini to stay in?
Sure, who isn't? Who isn't?
Yeah. Oh, well, that's fine. How long were you over there then?
About 4.5 years.
4.5 years.
Yeah, so I worked for Charlie and then Kate, selling seasons. We had a good team of us there. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Holy Bull's still alive, isn't he?
He's still going strong. He's 20 now.
Still breathing. Is he just 20?
Yeah.
I thought he was older than that.
He could be now. I lose track of the... No, he's 20.
Yeah.
Quiet American's 25 or 26.
He's still covering mares. He'd been a solid stud,
too.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That fella try and stop him. He's still going strong and loves his job and...
I remember Eduardo Caramoy had a nice Quiet American colt out here a few years back. I think his name was First American.
Okay.
And he went down and he won the Flamingo or something like that and won it in Florida.
Yeah.
I saw him work here one day and he was a runner.
Yeah.
I think he went to stud in South America.
Okay, probably.
I don't know if you know who Eduardo is.
Yeah.
But he's from Brazil, and I think the horse went to Brazil to go to stud. I think
he very well could have.
TNT people had him.
They'd be good connections, yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to send Drosselmeyer for us down in Brazil this year.
Oh.
So TNT.
Are you going to go to South America with him?
Well, hopefully. I'm trying to talk Elliot into it.
Are you?
Go down to Brazil for a couple of months. Sure, that'll be all right. No, I won't. He doesn't need me down there.
How many horses go on
We had 14 stallions this year. Last year we had 3 shuttle. This year we'll add Sydney's Candy and Drosselmeyer will shuttle. Harlan's Holiday will more than likely shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
Artie Schiller's been in Australia the last couple of years. Super Saver goes to Australia. So we'll probably have 5 go to the Southern Hemisphere between South America and Australia.
Okay.
Well,
you've been, of course you said you've been to Australia.
Been to Australia, yeah. And actually Darley sent me, I was... In Australia, it's part of the Flying Star course, and Darley sent me down there 2 years ago to sell some seasons down there for the summer.
Okay.
So that was great.
Who did they have down there?
They'd get a lot of stallions from Europe down there as well.
Yeah, okay.
So they had New Approach, Authorized. They have Lonro was leading general sire down there last year, who they just brought up to North America for the first year. Obviously, Street Cry goes down there, Medaglia d'Oro, Street Sense, Hardspun. So I think the year I was there, they had 26 stallions. And they're in New South. They have a farm in New South Wales, which is kind of closer to Sydney. And they have a farm in Victoria, which is closer to Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
And they're about... They look to be down in the bottom corner, both cities of Australia, but there's about 1,000 miles between them. So
it's
just so spread out, you know.
Did you get to see much racing while you were down there?
It was kind of the off-season, but our farm was about an hour and a half outside of Melbourne. So I'd go in every weekend to Flemington, and it was fun. Yeah. There was none of the big races going on, Melbourne Cups or Spring Carnivals or anything like that, but it was fun.
Yeah.
Went to some Aussie Rules football games and took it all in. So...
How long did you stay down there? Just
about 3 months.
Yeah, just during the breeding season.
Yeah, went down right after the Derby and came back kind of the middle of August.
Yeah.
So it was their winter down there.
Well, that's fun.
Oh, yeah.
Who the big horses for Windstar, who you got going for you this year?
Well, Gemologist is our big hope. He's he won the Jockey Club Stakes at Churchill there last year as a 2-year-old. So he's back in training now with Todd. He's at Tisnow.
At Tisnow.
Yeah. So out of Mr. Prospector Mare. So he's pretty fancy and just a real Tisnow, big, strong, good looking horse. He came back for a couple of weeks to the Windstar Training Centre, which is, it's great to be able to go up and see all these horses on your doorstep, you know. So he was there for a couple of months and is back down in Florida now. So he's our big hope.
Who's got him?
Todd Pletcher.
I've heard of him.
He can train one. He did all right with Super Saver for us.
He sure did.
So a repeat of that, it worked just fine.
Well, you need a Preakness winner. You had a Derby and a Belmont winner.
We need a Preakness winner. Yeah. We haven't done too bad.
No.
A Derby, a Belmont, a Travers, a Dubai World Cup, a Breeders' Cup Classic.
Yeah.
That's
not too bad.
I'd like to hope that things can get better, but it's hard to improve on that. But
you can't impress me. I used to win races at River Downs.
Hey, to win a race anywhere is hard. Right. To win a race anywhere is hard. So.
That was about my speed, though.
Oh, that's... A winner's a winner.
Have you ever been down there?
Oh, I've been up there.
It's a fun track to go to. It's a beautiful little place. It is.
Yeah.
It is. You know.
Yeah. It's kind of like a fairground kind of a, you know, it's lovely little spot.
Get in free.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all you have to do is buy a program and you're in business.
Away you go.
Yeah.
Away you go.
Can't afford a racing form anymore. But oh, my goodness. All right, well, you're working over there now with Elliot. Who else is over there now?
Well, obviously, Elliot's president and CEO, so yeah. Elliot oversees everything on a day-to-day. We've got Richard Budge as our farm trainer. Mm-hmm. Chris Baker just came on board as the farm manager from Spring Hill Farm in Virginia.
Yeah.
So we kind of started about the same time.
Imported a Virginian, yeah.
A Virginian. Well, I don't know, is Chris a Virginian?
I don't know.
I suppose he's as good as. He was up there for a good while.
Yeah.
But Chris is a really, really great guy. I'm enjoying spending some time with him.
Yeah.
And there's myself, and we've got Jenny Barnett, who is another graduate from the Flying Start, has been helping me out self-season.
Right?
So
yeah.
So and a graduate of Trinity. So we're like we're like peas in a pod, and from Ireland.
Yeah.
So
oh, is she?
Yeah.
Well, she doesn't have an accent.
No.
Yeah, I've talked to her on the phone. I don't pick up any accent.
No. She went to a good school. I'm just a bog. I'm just a bog man. I'm just a bog man. A sheep farmer. I'm just a sheep farmer from Kilteel.
Picking up rocks.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
I've known Elliot for a long time. Knew his daddy before.
I was actually telling him I was coming over to see you, and he said he had very fond memories of sitting with his dad and you reading out all the results.
Yeah.
And they'd writing down in the race card.
His dad was a fine man.
Yeah.
And a really good horseman, you know.
Yeah.
And his dad before him, Julian, was a horseman too. Also, I don't know. I didn't know prior to that. But,
yeah. It's a pretty serious lineage.
Oh, I tell you what, it is. All Midway.
Yeah.
And the Sales, you know, down there.
I'm really enjoying my time with Elliot, you know, from his experience as a trainer and, you know, his, you know, just asking him questions about the racehorses and distorted humor, the horses he trained. And, you know, it's nice to have that sort of an insight and applying it to what we do on the bloodstock side.
I was trying to think of the filly that he won the 2001 Spinster with, Elliot did. And
you've got me there now. We'll have to ask him himself.
Well, I know he won it because, Jackie, you remember we won, that was a feature race, and as usual, we were in the last race.
Always, yes.
Yeah.
And we won, the filly that he won with paid a big price. And I guess, I don't know if the people that owned it or what had pinhooked it or something and with our horse, you know, in the last race. And he paid $62.
Wow.
And I tell you, they were screaming.
Oh,
you know, so I don't know what they done. You know, they'd hooked up there somewhere. So
it was the sort of scream that warranted more than a win.
Exactly, right. Yeah. So the one, look here, they got two at a time here, and one of them's going to get loose. Little old skinny girl leading two horses down through here.
You see it all.
Yep. She's got them.
Yeah, she's got them.
Bringing them in. They got, well, I don't know, they got straw in their tail.
As long as it doesn't run into my car, we'll be all right.
We're watching two horses go down the road here with this young lady leading them. But well, at least you could put one on each side, you know. I would, but she's leading them both on the she's on the left side, which is proper. But left side of two of them, I don't know about that. Oh well, all righty. Well, I'm going to let you go, my friend.
What? Are you married? Come on.
Oh, are you married?
Stuff.
Not yet.
Oh, boy.
I've been dating a lovely girl, Muffin Fleming, from Louisville for a little while now, so...
Well, but you're still free.
I'm not married, but I'm happy.
Are you?
Well, we got to do something about that.
Oh, I'm sure she's listening now, too, so don't get me in trouble.
All right. You're not married, but you're thinking
I'm
about it.
I'm not married, but, well, I'm thinking about it. We leave it at that.
Yeah.
No, don't leave it at that. That'll get me in trouble. I'm not married. but I've got a great girlfriend.
All right.
That's all he's
going
to say.
Yeah. What else have you got for me?
Well, it's kind of a long-distance relationship there. If she's from Louisville. What do y'all do, meet in Frankfurt or Shelbyville?
We meet in Shelbyville. We meet in Shelbyville. Okay. The White Castle there in Shelbyville.
That's our take her out to dinner.
That's our spot.
All right. I better let you go before I get you in trouble.
All right, so thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate you stopping by. It's been fun talking to you. And stop by any time. Just come on out.
We're sure
doing business at the same old stand. So here. Have you been out here before?
Oh, I've been out. We've been out to see Johnny, and I've come by to look at a few horses. I was out with who was I out looking at horses with? Give me an Irish trainer that's out here.
McKay.
Jimmy Corrigan, Jeff McKay.
Jimmy Corrigan. I was out to see Jimmy Corrigan one day a couple of months ago, and so we've been frequenting.
Jimmy, I have an awful hard time understanding Jimmy, and he'll come up here and give me a horse's name. He'd be out there on a pony, and I'd be leaning out the window, you know.
It'd be nothing.
And I'm trying to get, you know, communicate with him.
Yeah.
And so I told him I'm going to go get a hearing aid. So I did. I went to the Veterans Hospital out there and applied for a hearing aid. Well, this was back in it's government, you know. I was there the 5th of December, and
and that's what they gave you.
No. Earphones.
Earphones.
Yeah, right. But the other day, Jimmy says, have you got your hearing aid yet? I said, no, you know. I said, I haven't heard from him. He says, well, they're probably calling you didn't hear them.
He'd be quick. He'd be quick now.
Yeah. Oh, I can tell some others on him. Maybe I better not, though.
Family show.
All right. Thank you,
Herschel, thank you very much.
All right. We'll see you
later.
Be in touch with you. Oh, by the way, if since y'all are a sponsor and everything, if you ever need one particular horse or something like that, call me.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Let me know who you want me to write commercials on.
Yeah. Well, no, I've been reading the commercials and that, so now it's great to put a face to the name, so.
Well, so I've got a face for radio, so there you go.
Me too.
Right. I bet your girlfriend doesn't say that. What's her name, by the way?
She's the only one. Muffin.
Muffin?
Muffin.
Oh, wow. Is that a real name?
That's her real name.
Oh, is that right?
You won't meet two in one day.
Two muffins?
You meet plenty of Jerry's.
Two muffins would be a loaf, wouldn't it?
Yeah, there you go.
All
right.
All right. Yeah. Let me move on. I got to get you out of here so I'd get a commercial. Thank you. Well, Mizzen Mass is off to a fast start in 2012. He is already represented by three graded stakes horses. Ultimate Eagle has won the Grade 2 $200,000 Stroop out at Santa Anita. Ms. Direction has won the Grade 3 Monrovia Stakes also at Santa Anita. And the three-year-old Colt Z Diger was a fast closing second, beaten just ahead in the Grade 3 LeComp Stakes at the Fairgrounds. And he has stamped himself as one to watch for the upcoming stakes along the Derby Trail. Ms. Mass stands at Judmon Farm, home also of the Grade 1 Stakes winner First Defense. The first foal is by First Defense at 2 year-olds, and we expect him to get off to a fast start, too. That's because First Defense had terrific speed, Grade 1 speed, coupled with a superb pedigree. Sprinted 7 furlongs in 120 and 4, and in 121 and 2 to take the Grade 1 4 goal. I'm trying to remember where that 120 and 4 was. I think that was at Belmont. 121 and 2 to win the Grade 1 4 goal. That's at Saratoga. And 122 and 1 at Churchill. 6 furlongs and 9 and 2 to take the Grade 3 Diaper Stakes. As for pedigree, he's by Unbridled Song out of Grade 1 Stakes winner Honest Lady by Seattle Slough. And Honest Lady is a half-sister to the top sire's Empire Maker in Chester House. First Defense, 7,500 live foal. Mizzen Mass, 12,500 live foal. Inquiries of Gerald O'Rourke, Aaron Fry, and check the website at judmont.com. Well, starting January 1, horses raised on Macaulay Brothers products have won at least one graded stakes a week for 7 consecutive weeks. This following year, which saw associates raise the winners of 110 graded stakes winners, including 24 individual grade 1 stakes winners. Last weekend, the Grade 2 Hutchinson Stakes was won by Thunder Moccasin, raised by Stonewall Stallions, and the Group 2 Al McToom Challenge went to Mendip, raised by Ashview Farm. In addition, the winner of the Martha Washington Stakes at Law, Amy's Denny, was raised by Dell Ridge Farm. Congratulations to all from McCauley Brothers. So, associates of McCauley Brothers are off to a great start in 2012, following a year which, to repeat, saw them produce the winners of 110 graded stakes winners, 110 graded stakes, and 24 individual grade one stakes winners. Now, that's quite a record. Proof positive that you can raise a top quality runner on McCauley products. Why don't you join the winning team? Just call Daryl Ward or Mike Warren at 873-3033-33 or stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. Always a leader in their field, McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse. All right, Jim Fitzgerald's a good friend of mine who, as we were just talking with Jerry Duffy just a minute ago about the Woodford, the what is the name of it? Woodford something or other. Woodford Hounds. Yeah, and Jerry rides a little bit with him, and, of course, Jim Fitzgerald is one of the mastered hounds down there. And like Jerry, Jim is from Ireland. He went through the Irish National Stud. He worked under Dr. Michael Osmond, John Williams at Spencer, Lee Eaton, three of the all-time great horsemen. And he, since 1994, Jim has operated Knock Griffin Farm down in Bourbon County. He also has another lovely farm now at Harper's Island, which is just a short drive away. And boarding, sales prep, sales, private or public, doesn't make any difference. Rehab, he can do it all, and he's got great help down there, quality farm help. And he also can give you some good, sound, common-sense advice, and that's Jim Fitzgerald at Knott Griffin Farm. Let me give you his website, knockgriffinfarm.com, 987-8032, Jim Fitzgerald.
Run that body one more time. Tell me how you'd never cheat on me. Tell me that you always will be true to me.
Yeah, let's see. Where is I? Okay. I tell you what, they canceled the Stymie Handicap today.
Who was it that made fun of Garrett when he was out there?
Somebody made fun of Garrett.
Remember,
Oh, Patrick.
Costello.
Yeah, Costello.
He's funny. I have to tow you over here because it's dirty.
Yeah. All right, Jerry. Thank you. let's see. All right. They canceled the Stymie Handicap today up in New York because it wouldn't fill because it was too, according to the racing form, had to run too far. It was, you know, a mile and an eighth. My goodness gracious, American horses can't run that far anymore. And, of course, Stymie was a great, well, he was a cup horse. Back when racing was good, when there used to be the Bolingbrokes and the Stymies and the horses, Assaults, and horses like that were going 2 miles. But Joe Palmer wrote a good column about Stymie, and just because of the in honor of Stymie and the cancellation of that stakes race up there today, I'm going to read that column. So here we go. It's called Stymie Common Folks. Well, on the cold, blustery afternoon of January 28, 1921, several hundred persons huddled in the windswept stands of the old Kentucky Association track at Lexington to see one horse gallop past them. Down he came, a great red chestnut with a copper mane and a head high, flying the black and yellow silks of Samuel D. Riddle. This was Man of War, leaving the racetrack forever. 14 years passed before Lexington considered another horse worth a turnout. Then on March 11, 1935, some 500 citizens assembled on a foul, wet afternoon to see Equipoise take his last public gallop. This was at the private track of the C.V. Whitney Farm, because it was in that unbelievable two-year period when Lexington had no public racetrack. The next performance, and as far as I know the last one, came on August 8, 1943, when Calumet Farm celebrated Whirlaway Day. By this time, the Chamber of Commerce had got into the act, and there was a remarkable spate of congressmen, Southern oratory, news cameras, and radio announcers. This is not a complete list. It is unlikely, though you can never tell about a Chamber of Commerce, that there will be any such doings over Stymie when he arrives to enter the stud at Dr. Charles Haggard's Green Ridge Farm. It isn't that the other three were Kentuckians coming home and that Stymie is an outlander from Texas. It was thoroughly appropriate that Stymie should have his final public appearance at Jamaica because he's a Jamaica kind of horse. Though I have no doubt he would do well in the stud, his kinship is with the racetrack, not the breeding farm. Man of War, Equipoise, and Whirlaway all were equine royalty from the day they were foaled. Stymie was common folks. It is true that he carries the blood of both Equipoise and Man of War, but all pedigrees are purple, if you go back a little. He was the son of a horse that had won two common races, out of a mare that couldn't win any. Nobody ever thought the first three were anything but good. Stymie began as a $1,500 plater that couldn't get out of his own way. Stymie wasn't, of course, as good as any of the three, but he was immeasurably tougher. Could he have got to the races one more time, he would have started as many times as all three of the others together. If you want to clutter your mind with a perfectly useless bit of information, Man of War made his reputation by blazing 19 miles in 5 furlongs. Equipoise, stopping now and then to grow a new hoof, ran a trifle over 50 miles in competition. Whirlaway lasted a little longer and lacked half a furlong of running 66 miles. But Stymie's journey to leadership among the world's leading money winners took him 142 miles, plus half a furlong and 60 yards. That's more than the other three together. Man of War and Equipoise and Whirlaway each won the first time out at short odds, as they were expected to do. Stymie was 31-1 in a $2,500 claiming race, and he ran as he was expected to do, finishing 7th. He was out 14 times before he could win, and that was a $3,300 claimer. You're not to imagine that Stymie was accidentally and mistakenly dropped into a claiming race before anyone appreciated his quality. He ran 12 times in claiming races and got beaten 11 of them. He was, until the fall of his 2-year-old season, right where he belonged. Then, from this beginning, he went on to win $918,485. This is, you will see, basically the story of the ugly duckling, of Cinderella among the ashes, of Dick Whittington and his cat, and of all the world's stories, none has ever been preferred to that which leads to the public and very glorious triumph of the oppressed and the downtrodden. Jamaica's horse players are, to some extent, oppressed and downtrodden, and perhaps in Stymie they find a vicarious success. The horse envisioned by a breeder in Kentucky or elsewhere is the son of a Derby winner out of an Oaks mare, which can sweep the futurities at 2 and the classics at 3, and then come back to the stud and send other great racers to the wars. These are roughly the specifications which fit such horses as Citation and Count Fleet and War Admiral and the like. But the racetrackers, I think, save most of their affection for the exterminators and the Stymies and the Seabiscuits, who do it the hard way in the handicaps, pounding out mile after bitter mile, giving weight and taking the tracks wet or dry, running for any jockey and trying with what they've got, even when they haven't got enough. That's why Stymie fitted a farewell at Jamaica, better than welcome in Kentucky. He's a curious horse, this obscurely bred Texas product. This tourist leaned on Jack Skinner's back fence at Middleburg one December for maybe half an hour, just studying Stymie, which did not return the compliment, but went on picking at the scanty winter grass. Except for the crooked blaze, which gives him a devil-may-care expression, he's the most average horse you ever saw. Not tall, not short, not long, not close couple. Good bone, good muscle, good chest, nothing outstanding, nothing poor. As a result, of course, he's almost perfectly balanced, and maybe this is what makes him tick. However, there is another matter. When Stymie comes to the peak of condition, he exudes vitality, so you expect to hear it crackle. He comes to a hard, lean fitness that you seldom see in domestic animals, unless it's a hunting dog that has been working steadily, or perhaps a hunter that has been having his 10 miles a day over the tracks. This is when, as Hirsch Jacobs says, he gets rough. It isn't temper or meanness. He just gets full of himself, and he wants things to happen. The faster he goes, the higher he carries his head, which is all wrong according to the book, but is a characteristic of the tribe of man-of-war, to which he is inbred. This tourist, who doesn't scare easily in print, will long remember the way Stymie came around the turn in the Pimlico Cup handicap, with his copper mane flying in the wind, making pretty good horses look as if they had just remembered a pressing engagement with a quarter pole. He is not a great horse in the sense that man-of-war and equipoise were great. He isn't versatile. There are dozens of horses that can beat him at a mile, and even at a mile and a quarter he would have trouble with armed or lucky draw, just as he had with Devil Diver. He can't make his own pace, and he can't win slow races. He needs something up ahead to draw the speed from the field, to soften it up for his long, sweeping rush at the end. But give him a field with speed in it at a mile and a half or more, and horses had better get out of his way, even whirl away. Anyway, another fine and ardent and satisfactory story, the turf, was brought to a close at Jamaica. And it was happy to note that, for all the long campaign, it was no battered and limping warrior which left us. Stymie never looked better, with his bronze coat and great bloom, and the high head carried as proudly as ever. As he stood for the last time before the stands, people around him, around the winner's circle enclosure, were shouting to the groom, "Bring him in here, for just one more time." The groom didn't obey, and probably he was right. Stymie never got a winner's circle without working for it. There was no time to begin. That's Joe Palmer, at his best, I would say.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, if you're breeding a race and you're looking for a sire standing for a modest stud fee, take a look at Mooston Farr. Mooston Farr, from five starters in his first small crop, has two winners and two to place. Muthiba has won and placed in stakes in Europe. Mukamer won a maiden special, first time out, posted a win in allowance company, and has two wins in 3 seconds and five stars. Groom of Doom has been on the board in four of six starts, all in maiden specials. Fortune of Farm placed at Oakland in his most recent start. So Mooston Farr are siring runners which, like their sire, are likely to improve with maturity. Mooston Farr won graded stakes at Keeneland and Belmont as a three-year-old. In fact, he won a place in nine stakes, all graded, for earnings of over $625,000. And he's the son of the classic winner and sire of sires, Unbridled. His dam is out of champion height of fashion, dam of six stakes winners, three champions. Mooston Farr, $3,000 live foal at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stand manager Kent Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at FirstNet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2 and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
Well, the Group 2 $250,000 Al Maktoum Challenge, run February 9, was won by Mendip, 5-year-old horse by Harlan's Holiday. A multiple group stakes winner, Mendip was one of 10 2011 stakes winners by Harlan's Holiday, and his earnings now total over $888,000 after posting six wins from nine career starts. Mendip was sold as a yearling for $130,000, then as a two-year-old again sold, this time in a training horse and training sale for $350,000. His score in the Al Maktoum Challenge comes on the heels of the victory of Riley Tucker by Harlan's Holiday in the King Cotton Stakes at Oaklawn. Riley Tucker was sold as a yearling for $375,000, and he's earned more than $625,000. He has also won the Grade 3 Aristides Stakes at Churchill Downs and is placed in 10 other stakes, 7 graded, including the Grade 1 Vosburgh. A proven Grade 1 sire, Harlan's Holiday was bred to 160 mares in 2010, 158 in 2011, so there are more runners like Mendip and Riley Tucker on the way. He stands for $25,000 due in the foal stands and nurses with a 5% discount and paid by November 1. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy or Jenny Barnett at Windstar Farm and see the website at windstarfarm.com.
A fun interview.
All right, Jackie, are you back?
I said that was a fun interview.
Yeah, he was fun to talk to.
Yeah, we had one single young girl up here who said, he's so cute.
Don't let that go to your head, Jerry.
I love it. Okay, can I do my somewhere now?
Let me say
one thing, too. Jerry said he looked at the website and thought it was great. Now, this website we've got, UrsoEllis.com, is courtesy of Lexington Computer Clinic. Now, the Computer Clinic, these guys, they're so reasonable. Their rates are just fantastic. I mean, you can get a complete computer repair for $99.99, and if you go up, like with a laptop, like I do, and put it on the counter, if they'll fix it while you stand there for $39. I mean, you can't beat that. It's extraordinary. And they'll give you lessons on how to do stuff. See, they're teaching me how to do this beautiful website, and I go up there and plunk the thing down. I write down everything. Click on something. And I'm learning it, and it's just like $20 for half an hour. It's perfect. It's nice guys, Aaron and David. Now, they are out at Hamburg. And they're at the Big Myers store. And you go down the end where the U.S. Bank is, or some kind of bank. I don't know what it is, but they're right next door to the bank. And it's terrific. I mean, I can't get over it. Go to UrsoEllis.com and check it out. It's really nice. And they can teach you how to fix it yourself. So there. Their phone number is 263-7374. Moving right along, colostrum banks are low. All you mayor people out there, pay attention. And there's some kind of, all the proceeds from the sale of all the colostrum that's given, donated to the Equine Hot Woodford Equine Ridden Riddle and Haggard's, the proceeds goes to CKRH, Central Kentucky Riding for Hope.
Very nice.
Miss Betsy's going back in the spring to Riding for Hope. She gets a little stiff in the cold weather. Midway College is having a dressage clinic. It's February 25th and 26th, which is next weekend. It's the students are a different price, but somebody coming in from the outside to ride is $55 a ride, or one or two person for a 45-minute lesson. Now, the deadline was yesterday, but I think if you call Julie Congleton, you might still get in.
What's Julie's number?
Oh, it's in my phone. I have to go find it. In my phone.
Am I supposed to talk while you fumble around there?
Yeah, I guess so. You can always get a hold of, I must have 100 names in this stupid phone. La, 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 la.
Well, it's just an hour show, Jackie, so we better get on.
All right. Yeah. Oh, here's her barn number. 846-4889.
All right, good.
You can call and leave word there. Anyway, it's going to be at Midway. Horse Park this week is Kentucky High School Athletic Association wrestling tournament. Tomorrow is wrestling youth.
Ute.
They pour all the utes in a big pile and they wrestle. Tomorrow is the Lexington Kennel Club dog tracking. Polo next Tuesday and Thursday. Next weekend is a home remodeling kind of a thing. Stuff really gets scooting along in March. Today, of course, was Snowbird Dressage. That's Julie Congleton, and she's going to have another one in March the 17th, which is a day I'll set aside, a day when every Irish heart is bursting out with pride.
Remember and the pubs are full.
TOBA has their ownership seminar, the closest one, May 3rd in Louisville. Breeding clinic, June 1 through 3 here in Lexington. And then next fall, they'll have a pedigree and confirmation clinic. They are having Kentucky Horse Park host three of the America's top horse shows, ranked in the top 25. That's something to be really proud of. It's the All-Tech National Show, the Kentucky Spring Horse Shows, and the Attaquan FEI North American Junior and Young Rider Championships. Oh. So it's a beaut. I can't wait for spring. Woohoo! Okay, March tax sale, March the 10th. They're going to have a tax sale to benefit Fayette County 4-H Club at the Red Mile. Well, no, it's at the Fayette County Extension Office at 1140 Red Mile Place, across from the racetrack, to raise money for 4-H and recruit new members. So if you're interested in all this good stuff, call, let me get you an easy number. There's a bunch of people here with funny numbers. 227-8057, or just check out the Fayette County Extension Office, and they will know. Lexington Catholic's going to have a four-year equine academy in partnership with UK, Midway, Georgetown, I guess college, Keeneland, and Fasig Tipton. That should be a kind of a fun thing. More than one way to keep a kid in school. Race for Education is pretty much closing in on. If you're interested, you need to go raceforeducation.org.
Well, February 11 at Gulfstream, the grade one $500,000 Don Handicap was won by Hymn Book, a six-year-old son of Arch. Hymn Book is the eighth grade one stakes winner by Arch, who stands at Claiborne Farm. His fee, $30,000. One of those eight grade one stakes winners is the Fleet Arch Arch Arch, winner of the grade one $1 million Arkansas Derby. Also the grade three Southwest Stakes at Oak Lawn and the Sugar Bowl Stakes at the Fairgrounds, for earnings of over $832,000. The only son of Arch to win stakes at both two and three. Arch 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 whipped a field which included three grade one stakes winners in the Arkansas Derby, and in six starts over a five-month period, he was never off the board. Arch 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 is bred along the same lines as Eclipse Award winner Blame. Both are by Arch out of mares from the Mr. Prospector line. Blame is standing his second season at stud for $35,000. Arch 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 is standing his first season, $10,000 due in a full stand to nurses. Breeding incentives are available. Just check with Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Feld, and Ned Toffee at Spendthrift Farm. Here's the number, 294-0030. Or see the website at spendthriftfarm.com. A little over four.
The horse right here, the name
right.
is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says...
All right, Jackie, back at you.
Back at me. Masterson Indoor Arena is open Thursdays, Saturdays, and Sundays during this weather. Call Georgia at 253-0328. You know, I don't know. If you don't know her number, I bet you if you call Fayette Urban County Government, because that's who runs that place, and they asked for Georgia about Masterson. I think that's a good way to do it. It's $15 an hour. It's $25 for two or more riders. Got to clean up after yourself. And anyway, that's a good idea. Reservations 24 hours in advance, free. Free gelding surgery, for horses, offered at the Kentucky Horse Park. That will be March the 10th, a free gelding clinic. So, it's Kentucky Horse Council's Save Our Horses Fund to keep them from breeding stuff that ought not to be bred, tell you the truth. There's an awful lot of that. Anyway, contact Sheila Forbes at the Horse Park, 233-4305 for an application. Find out what that's all about. The new Thoroughbred Horse Show Association has their show dates. The first one here, there's one in Northern Kentucky, but the one here is April 14th and 15th. This is NTRA's Safety and Integrity Alliance .. Aftercare. If you're interested, they would really like to pull in some sponsors. So get a hold of these people. And go to ntraalliance.com. That's a good one. Next week, we are on from 9 until 11, which is always hysterical because Ursel's the clocker, and we have to start the radio. Bressie's over here laughing. We have to start the radio show, and it's right after they fixed the track back up. And so all hell breaks loose, as they say. We have to clock and talk at the same time and not make more than our usual fools out of ourselves. So,
yeah. Well, we get some help in here, though.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Need help, too. Not only that, normally after the break we need help. One person couldn't do it.
No, you can't, because there's too much going on. We have three coming out of the break, two breaking off at the 5A's pole, and something come down
when
didn't see.
When you called me this morning, I had five working.
Yeah, at one time.
At one time, I was by myself.
Yeah. We didn't miss a one today that I know of.
No. We had 50-something workers at the
Yeah, well, the track was better before the sun hit it. It got a little mushy. But don't forget to log on to UrselEllis.com. check out that beautiful new website, courtesy of Lexington Computer Clinic.
All right, and since last week's show, trainers out here, the saddle winners, Scooter Hughes, Byron Hughes, Jim Cullen, Tommy Short, Kellen Gorder, Alberta Butner, Tommy Skinner, and Adolfo Marcias. And last night at Turfway, we had 3 winners, 4 seconds, and 3/3. Trained right here at the Thoroughbred Center. We'll talk to you next week, and thanks for listening.